Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, and time for...
Tell me something good.
The overnight is here. There are good things that happen during the day that you still remember in the overnight hours. What that may be, it's up to you to share that story. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I had a couple of good ones to lay out here. I found this on the New York Post. It's in Tucson, Arizona. Like that one, Take It Easy. Tucson, Arizona, no way to Tacoma. Or is that Steve Miller Band? It doesn't matter. But military hopes 3D bone printers can help injured veterans. Isn't that kind of a cool idea? So they're going to be investing a lot of money, a $2 million grant from the Department of Defense to an orthopedic research lab in Arizona to help create 3D bone printing to help military personnel. So if you serve this country and let's say something happens while you're overseas, active duty, and you have some issues, long-term sort of issues with broken bones or some military injury that was from the war, and says we could regenerate their bone by 3D printing a scaffold that's specific to that bone of that patient and then fill it with stem cells for that patient, adult stem cells. And from there, surgeons in the military could try to treat personnel with blast injuries. Those injuries usually cause massive bone loss, and unfortunately, in many cases, they're currently amputating as opposed to being able to treat because they can't really do anything else. So instead of amputating because they can't fill the lost bone fragments or whatever, they can print them and put them in there. What an awesome concept. So good for the University of Arizona and their orthopedic research lab for doing something like that. One of their lab researchers, David Gonzalez, said the technology could eventually also help civilians and cancer patients as they try to move on to that. What's coming out of the University of Arizona is really nice, they say. From their perspective, if technology is anything that new really needs to be done. It's another thing to make it cost-effective. Money is everything in healthcare, unfortunately, even in the military. Let's hope it's cost-effective. That's why the research is there to make it that way. Do you have something good or positive? Call it in, man. Let's hear it. I found another one on CNET, and this is pretty positive. When I talk about technology, I am very leery of these big tech companies that are constantly finding ways to flip your privacy to third parties in order for them to profit off of information you don't want them to have. A lot of times you're voluntarily giving up this information. A lot of times you're just posting it and it's public and people can grab that, save that, do whatever they want with it. It's not good. So a year ago, Clara Grace was a starving boxer mix abandoned in California. Her ribs bulged through her rail-thin body, and much like a lot of the dogs that either surrendered or taken off the streets in terrible shape, there are great organizations out there that take these dogs in, they give them all the medical care they need, and they try to find and adopt out to great families that want to take animals in. And you know what? 2018, a horrible year for Facebook. Look at all the scandals and the privacy breaches and all of this and that. But a lot of these animal agencies benefited last year because they realized they were able to reach so many different people. And pets are a winner when it comes to shareable content online. The social media director for the ASPCA says social media allows them to do much more to help with animals. Everyone's looking to join a cause. Animal shelters and rescue organizations are, they say it's a invaluable tool for them. They reach all kinds of different people every day. It's free, and people are looking for animals, so it works out pretty well. In that one example of that starving boxer mix, they found a good home because of Facebook. Wonder Dogs, that's the name of a organization, Wonder Dog Rescue in San Francisco. They talk about how in September, the ASPCA found that 76% of the shelters and rescue organizations surveyed say their social media use has increased in the last year, with Facebook being cited as the most effective platform for increasing adoptions. Tell me you don't see a sad story of a dog online and think to yourself, oh, honey, can't we just go pick up another animal? It happens. You know what the most dangerous thing to do is? If you are thinking or on the fence about an adoption of an animal, you go to a shelter thinking, oh, I'm just going to take a look. You're taking one home, period. Guaranteed. There hasn't been an easier selling point than a person that's looking to adopt going into a shelter to look at the animals, really. It says, though Wonder Dogs still post dogs on their website, it's the social media that really draws people's attention to get them to look at it. Facebook has an immediacy, they say. If someone posts a dog on our Facebook page, I may be able to save it, but I can definitely press one button and a lot of people will find out about it. And that's where the power comes from a lot of times. The organization partners with celebrities sometimes. They mentioned the Sarah McLachlan's Weepy TV commercial. You know, the one where they play the soft music in the background. It shows all the animals. They're shaking and trembling and they're sad and in dirty conditions. And you're like, oh, I want to help that little animal. That apparently raised $30 million for their organization. Boy, did that pay off. Oh, that paid off. You had no idea. Sarah McLachlan's Weepy television commercial in 2007 when it came out. $30 million. Wow. So those are some pretty good stories. So as much as we give social media a hard time, you know what? There's actually some good things that come from it. Not always. Not always, but sometimes. Do you have a good story you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, I had this story and I just haven't had a chance to share it yet. And we will talk about it. The shutdown may actually stop the State of the Union speech. And I wanted to get into it just a little bit here. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time. I was going to spend the first hour talking about this, but I was totally sidelined by what happened on CNN earlier. As soon as it aired, I missed it, but I saw someone post the audio and the video up where CNN's Chris Cuomo and Giuliani talk about this FISA warrant report that came out. They also talk about the investigation itself, the Strzok and Lisa Page text back and forth, and still the things that are missing in these investigations. So we're going to spend all next hour talking about that CNN interview that happened earlier tonight. It's an excellent interview. But let's talk about the whole Nancy Pelosi shutdown with the State of the Union address now in question. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Here's what happened earlier. Because of what Nancy Pelosi says are security issues, the State of the Union speech should be pushed back. She wrote a letter to the president requesting that he postpone his January 29th State of the Union speech. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Not a lot, but just a little. So here's the rundown, and cover this as much as we can because it's been a pretty big story today. What is going to happen is that she's going to use her political clout in a way to try to continue to politicize this as much as possible. It is the best strategy that the Democrats could put forward right now. So even though this normally the State of the Union goes past the bickering of the two sides, you're able to at least allow the president to give a speech. Technically, if they don't invite them or don't invite him, then I guess that you can't give a speech. I guess you could try to force it or whatever it is, but the way generally this works is that they give an invite for him to give the State of the Union. So House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asked President Trump to postpone his January 29th State of the Union speech, citing concerns about a hobbled government can provide inadequate security. In a letter, Pelosi said that both the Secret Service and Homeland Security Department entangled in the shutdown. Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen denied anyone's safety is being compromised. In fact, part of this whole thing is that they were never even consulted to begin with. One person mentioned that Democratic leaders did not ask the Secret Service if the agency would be able to secure the State of the Union before even writing the letter. So obviously, you think the Secret Service is going to be one of those agencies where they decide to furlough? Yeah, right. You don't think that's essential into the United States government, but still. So Trump did not immediately respond to the request. Says Pelosi, who issued the customary invitation to Trump weeks ago, hit the president at a vulnerable place as they take into this message of the public preparing for more days of the shutdown and what's going to happen next and this and that. I will say that this is a 100% political move. And for her to play this political move at this time goes to show you that they're going to milk this for everything it's worth. This is a 50-50 thing. They're both dancing this. So anyone that thinks it's fully on Trump or fully on Pelosi, it's both of them. So Trump is playing this because he wants to get that wall built. He knows that it's a campaign promise that he can't skip out on. And he also knows people want border security. And this is one of the ways to do it. A lot of people do agree that this is a good way to do it. And as this continues, he knows that that funding will never happen if he backs down now. So he's kind of stuck in a corner outside of actually declaring this an emergency and just trying to force and ram it through. But even then, he knows that it'll be challenged, and who knows what the courts will decide to do on something like that. And by the time he's up for reelection, he doesn't want this to be a court battle. He just wants this to be done. So this is one way he could try to do it, but he knows it's not going to end all that well. The other way is just to back down and say, you know, I think that border security is important, but we're never going to get money from the Democrats, so see you later. We'll just open the government back up, and I guess it's business as usual, which is a major loss for him, major win for the Democrats to continue their number one strategy the last 2 years, which is sandbag as much as they can in hopes to get more power. Midterm election, they got a little bit of power, not in the Senate, but in the House. So they get a little bit of power, and they try to yield that as much as possible. And this is one of those ways that the sandbagging worked out. So this whole State of the Union speech and getting Democrats on board, who knows if they stage a protest or a walkout or whatever it is. But, you know, continue to act like children they are in Congress. Why not? This is just the way they operate anymore. So they can't even hear a speech. You better believe that it wouldn't take long for President Trump to go to one of these battleground states that have hosted him in the past. He can give his own speech. All the networks will carry it. They'll consider it as a State of the Union, even though it's not officially, and more people will watch it then because of the controversial nature of it. And he'll still fill the arena with, you know, 15,000 people or whatever, depending on where he goes. Well, his advisors, part of this article here, well, his advisors said the shutdown was providing a greater drag on the economy than expected. Trump showed no signs of backing off. And really, if he truly believes that security at the border is of utmost importance, then why would he back off at this point? Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina Republican, who's been working on bipartisan strategies, declared that he's running out of ideas. And if all you're going to do is say, well, we're going to fund a dollar and that's the most you'll get out of us, I don't know how you do this without forcing it through. I really don't. And no one really wants that, but I don't know how else it's going to happen. Like, here is Senator Manchin out of West Virginia was asked about this in the tactics. He's a Democrat, by the way.
I have a lot to get to. Yes, let me start with Nancy Pelosi stating security concerns are the reason why she's essentially uninviting the president. Do you think that's why, or is this a political power play?
I'm not sure what her intentions are. I have the utmost respect for Speaker Pelosi, but I think this is wrong approach to be taking right now.
Her things, approach?
The approach by saying we're going to shut this down and not have.
It's funny. This is on MSNBC. What happens? The MSNBC. Well, you're saying that Pelosi could possibly be wrong? And she's looking to her booker. How dare you bring on someone that would say something bad about Pelosi? Just, they're so aghast to the idea that Pelosi could be wrong.
The approach by saying we're going to shut this down and not have, because of security, I think our staff.
No, listen to it again. Let me see if I can bring it up.
For Speaker Pelosi. But I think this is wrong approach to be taking right now.
Her approach?
The approach by saying.
Her approach?
Because of security, I think our staff, and I spoke to the Capitol Police, I think they're still in place and they're still getting paid.
So do you think then that the president should come and deliver a State of the Union no matter what on the 29th?
Well, it's not no matter what. I think he has to be invited by the House, as I understand it, because we're in their chamber.
Sure. Would you encourage the Speaker to reconsider and to allow the president
to come? I would always
come?
Encourage that we should try to have every type of respectful dialogue that we possibly can.
Joe Manchin, it's funny, he said, yeah, you know, security's still getting paid, by the way. So they're not part of this issue that we see with some people in the past. So trying to say it's a security issue, that's why you shouldn't show up. The way I'm reading this, it's funny because they're making it sound like should he just show up anyway. From the way I'm reading this, they already sent an invite to him, but that was 2 weeks ago, and this letter wasn't an uninvite. This letter was generally saying maybe you shouldn't show up and we should postpone it. Let's see. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, what does the president want?
Our hope is the same that it's been since this conversation started, and that's that we'll get actual funding for real border security, including the wall. We're hopeful that Democrats, whether it's the group today or leadership, will get serious about fixing the crisis at the border.
Senator Lindsey Graham.
There are plenty of Democrats who are willing to help the president meet his priorities in a reasonable fashion if they get something too. So I'm hoping in the next 24 hours there will emerge a group of Republicans and Democrats who will basically ask the president jointly to give us a few weeks to work on this with you to see if we can produce a result in the Senate.
Mitch McConnell getting in on it too.
$1. $1. That's the amount the new Speaker of the House recently said she'd be willing to invest in physical barriers at our southern border. For federal workers who are now stretching every dollar until Democrats lose interest in dead-end political games, the Speaker's $1 punchline is not very entertaining.
Ooh, Mitch McConnell. All right, they know they're basically trying to see who dies of starvation first at this point. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me get to Rich calling in from South Bend, Indiana. Rich, what's going on?
Good for the Speaker.
Oh, why do you say that?
Why do I say that? The government is shut down. Guess who didn't get paid Tuesday?
Who's that, Rich?
40,000 members of the United States Coast Guard.
It's not good. It's not good.
No. Yeah, how about that? 40,000 members of the armed forces did not get paid. And in fact, charities close to Coast Guard stations have set up food banks. Imagine that.
What you think?
Members of the armed forces.
Well, you say good for the Speaker. You don't think she's responsible in any way for this?
No.
Wait, holds no responsibility?
They had a deal. No. Because Trump had a deal, and he walked away from it.
Which deal are you talking about? The one in the past or one recently?
Oh, well, one in the past. Let's see here. $25 billion and DACA. Mm-hmm. He changed his mind.
Yeah.
No, I don't want it. Well, had a deal with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. Don't forget. When the shutdown happened, Paul Ryan was Speaker of the House.
Well, with the $25 billion in DACA, so it came with the caveat, the compromise was trying to continue an immigration policy that he didn't want to continue. So he couldn't find a compromise on that sense to make a border wall. So basically, we can put a wall up, but our immigration policy is still going to stink. I think that's what he turned down.
Well, first of all, what are you going to do with private property? A vast majority of the land in Texas that pushes up against the Rio Grande is private property. You cannot seize private property. You're going to go to court and take every property owner to federal court. Every one.
Yeah. All right.
That will take decades.
Rich, of all of the decades we've been talking about building some sort of barrier on the southern wall, we have a lot of barrier there that's inferior. Why can't we just upgrade the really priority areas with, $5 billion or $6 billion? Why can't we just do that?
We can, but we already got fencing on government land.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is no fencing, it's either rough terrain that you can't get into, or private property. All this is BS on the part of Trump.
No, so what happens? Okay, but let's say there is a stronger barrier that is put up, like they did down in Southern California, the San Diego area, which, by the way, the people there that live there and the people that are working the border over there say it's highly effective based on what was built there. Why can't we use that and strategically place something like that in more areas as opposed to some of this really relaxed portions where there's, it's a joke what's put up there?
Well, first of all, border crossings are down. They've been coming down. He was offered $2 billion and he turned it down. You know what? I got a real good idea. Since members of the U.S. Coast Guard are now having to go to food banks, I say let's take every piece of food in the White House and take it away.
Yeah. Rich, let me mention this too. What happens when the immigration policy doesn't change either? And as soon as someone steps a pinky toe on American soil, they get to stay here for 5 or 6 years, skip out on their court date, and then it's a game of if we ever catch them again for the rest of their life. You think that needs to be addressed too?
Well, first of all, asylum seekers, 90% go to their court date.
Oh, no, that's a highly inflated number. No, you know what? That may be their initial one, but the one where they're actually getting a sentence, they skip out on that. I think it's like 3 to 10% actually show up to actually get the judgment. That maybe they go to an initial one, but they skip out on the one that would actually require them to be deported. That's the stat I saw. So they go through a multiple court process. The ones that actually determine their fate in this country are the ones they skip out on. That's the important one. Yeah, it's like 3 to 13%, I thought the number was. That's insanely low. We're being taken advantage of.
And that is the fault of the United States Coast Guard?
No, I'm saying it's the fault of a bad immigration policy. We need both. We need better immigration policy, and we need a way to secure the southern border.
Well, then try hiring more border guards. And by the way, customs are short 2,000 border guards.
Mm. What happens when, let's say, the border guards actually talk to someone that's here? They say asylum, and then that's when they get their ticket. There's nothing you can do at that point, just the way the laws are written.
Well, first of all, they have a legal right to seek asylum.
Yes, they do.
You follow federal law.
Yeah, no.
To the letter.
They do have a right. You're right. They have a right. But do they also have the right to skip their sentencing?
Well, that's why we have. That's why ICE exists, even though those guys are not getting paid.
Mm, I know. It's terrible. I don't like that. This is how it's playing out. I don't like how it's playing out this way. I really don't.
Well, it's playing out this way because there's a child in the Oval Office.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, I feel, is easily responsible as well for this. It's not on just Donald Trump on this one. Definitely not.
Really?
No.
Spending bills are now sitting on McConnell's desk that he won't bring up for a vote.
I can flip this and say, you know, if Nancy Pelosi would just fund the wall just like they said they would 10 years ago and just like they said 20 years ago, then none of this would have been an issue. So it's 100% her fault. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is they've had more than enough time to try to settle this sort of thing, more than enough time. And it continues on and on and on. At some point, you got to take a stand, and I think that's what he's doing. And you know what? It hurts, but it's what he's doing.
Oh, really? So until the Coast Guard gets paid, why don't you not take your paycheck from KMOX?
It doesn't work that way. So, Rich, are you saying that no one should get paid because of this? We're just going to all sit it out? Well, I mean, that's silly. Well, that's the terrible thing.
No, I'm sick and tired of my brothers and sisters getting stabbed in the back by Trump and McConnell.
Mm.
Men and women put their lives on the line every single
all right.
Day.
So how about the people that are actually getting stabbed by people that are in this country illegally? How about the people that are actually getting hurt by the tens of thousands, by people that have overstayed visas and shouldn't be in this country to begin with? How about all those people getting hurt? You want to talk about them too?
You're picking a handful.
No, it's tens of thousands.
Hey, how many white guys are in state prison in the state of Missouri for rape and murder?
What does that have to do with anything?
Born and raised in the United States.
Rich, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with it?
Look, we have ICE. They're doing their job. Mm-hmm. But what you don't do is you don't stab the United States Coast Guard in the back.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Rich. Good to hear from you. We got to go. All right, bye. All right, we're not stabbing the Coast Guard in the back. You know what? It's not fair the way that they're being treated during the shutdown, but that's how it works during the shutdown. So you know what? You can roll it either way. You can say, end the shutdown, Donald Trump, fold. Or you can say, Nancy Pelosi, end the shutdown and fold. And you know what? They're both sticking to their guns at this point. I don't know what else you can do. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. All right. So the invitation was there apparently 2 weeks ago for the president to give a State of the Union speech. Nancy Pelosi now requesting that he postpone the 29th of January speech. pure political move, really. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me get to Tony over in Nashville. Tony, what's going on?
Yeah, real quick, you just brought up this State of the Union. I thought, isn't it in the Constitution that the president must deliver a State of the Union address once a year? I think he has to do it regardless of what Pelosi wants. I thought it had to be done, but...
Yeah, I think you can do it in different. Yeah, I think they can do it in different forms. It doesn't have to be, I think, a formal speech that happens in front of Congress.
Okay.
He can do it in different forms, but yeah, because the same thing happened his first year in office. He really didn't have a formal one there.
Right, and she walked. They didn't stand for him, whatever. But the last caller, he just doesn't like the president. And you had stated, which you're correct, something should have been done years ago. Just the same thing with the trade policies. And the 1986 Tax Act that he reformed, all that stuff should have been done years ago. So he's, basically kind of, he's dotting I's and crossing T's here. But the economic impact by not having a wall, according to the GAO, the General Accounting Office of the government, this not having a barrier or a wall costs our country, I think it's, $267 billion a year. So I guess for mathematical purpose, we'll just say $250 billion a year. So every 4 years is a trillion. So over the last 12 years, that's $3 trillion that could be coming off of a deficit by keeping these unwanted out. I mean, isn't it 70% of them acquire some type of a benefit? The last caller also stated ICE is trying to do their job. Well, it's kind of hard for them to do their job when the mayor of Oakland is tipping off illegals that ICE is coming to do a crackdown or do a sting operation. If you remember back in April or May, the mayor of Oakland alerted these illegals, said, oh, yeah, ICE is coming around. They were going to do their job. So how's ICE going to do their job when you got a sanctuary law and the poor officer, just died in the Central Valley just north of Bakersfield 2 weeks ago, killed by an illegal. He was protected by the sanctuary law, but the feds couldn't get to him. So this wall has to go up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Pelosi's wrong as can be. I really think if you look at the election in November, Ryan retired. He had to go. He was part of the establishment. We had I can't think of his name in Florida. He was elected 15 consecutive terms. The guy from Michigan's gone. Conyers. He was around forever, ever and a day. Rohrabacher in California, 15 straight terms. He's gone. Pelosi's got to go. Schumer's got to go. Even McConnell, in my opinion, has to go. We needed some fresh faces in there. But Pelosi, she's got to go. In fact, even some of the Democrats, the youthful ones coming up, they don't want her as the leader, which is a good move. I think it's going to be egg on the face in 2020 for the Democrats, to be honest with you. This man wants to get things done. We need a wall. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's costing our country too much now. Look at it in 54. Go back to 1954. Eisenhower, he did fact check it, but he did something with generals, with U.S. military, and he got rid of 1 million illegals.
You know what happened? I wanted to go back to that number you gave. I've been going off of the number from FAIR, which is an organization, a nonprofit organization. They estimate it's more like $115 billion a year. The $250 billion seems a little high, but it could absolutely be true, mostly because we still don't have a good grasp on who's here legally or not. But the thing that's really concerning is that you have people that are entering this country. They claim asylum because they've been coached to do so. And once they get here, they get their day in court, which is fine. But their day in court isn't for 5 or 6 years down the road. They're forgotten or lost, and if they do show up to court, they don't show up to their sentencing, so then they disappear if they feel like they're not going to get the asylum status. So they don't follow the laws from the very start. They claim that they're going to by saying that they want to go through the process of asylum, but we have such a problem. There's so much you can do. If you can get a wall in the southern border and set up a way so that the people that are trying to claim asylum could be expedited and we can get them in front of a judge quicker as opposed to waiting 6 years, then we don't have to go through this cat and mouse game that we've been going through and then ultimately never finding them until they commit a crime. So, Tony, we got a lot of issues.
The asylum seekers is a cat and mouse game. I think it's more of a cry for help, too, as well. But those numbers could be... they were thrown. I don't recall where I got them, but it was. I thought it was well over $200 billion that it cost this country, every year. But Well, I guess we'll see what happens, but we do need a wall or a barrier. It's I mean, here's another thing. I lived in California for 14 years.
Yeah.
These people contribute nothing to society. In other words, you know, you take St. Louis, let's just say your kid goes to a Webster Groves or a Kirkwood school district. You live in that district, you're paying taxes every year for your child to attend that school district, okay? Well, in California and whatever, in Pasadena, whatever, these people aren't paying any taxes, but their kids are going to the schools. It's not fair.
I see what you're saying.
Or,
okay.
Or, you know, Jerry's a great guy. You know, or you pay your ticket to go to the Blues game. Juan's a great guy, and so is Maria. But, you know, they get let them into the Blues game for free. I mean, come on. I mean, you have to.
All right,
you know,
Tony.
I mean, we can't, you know.
Thanks for calling in. Good points. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, when he's saying contribute, I understand what he's saying there. So it's not necessarily they do nothing, as in there's no ties to the community. But if you're not paying taxes and you're getting paid under the table, but you're still using the resources of a city, as in through the school system or whatever it is, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and that's part of the number of that I've seen. It's about $115 billion a year that's being spent both federally and locally by the state to people that are here in the country illegally. Real quick, let me go to Oklahoma and Bill. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Here a few weeks ago, you called out and asked if anybody was from other states, and I called you back down west of Bartlesville.
That's right, yeah.
We've got a man here. His name's Dr. Everett Piper. He's been on Glenn Beck and a bunch of other programs and Fox and CNN, and he's president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and he's on a speaking tour all over Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas right now. And the title of his speeches is Feelings Over Fact. And I believe that's exactly what your guy in Indiana has, is it's how he feels. It isn't the facts involved in the case, because Pelosi and the Democrats have had plenty of time to do something with this. And President Trump is the first one ever kept his promises and never attempted to keep his promises. He's been hamstrung by members of his own party. He's been hamstrung by the Democrats, of course, that hate him. And it's all feelings over fact. I'm retired. I spend a lot of time on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never seen so many people who don't care about how well the job market's improved, mm-hmm. how well the economy's improved, how he signed an executive order to get Right to Try passed, mm-hmm. how he's done so much stuff to build a military back that Obama gutted.
Sure.
And all they think with is their feelings instead of their facts. They don't care about their nation. It's how they feel.
Yeah, and there's a very famous person by the name of Ben Shapiro who says, you know, facts don't care about your feelings, which is unfortunate that too many people put that to the side too quickly. Yeah, and there's a lot of things. The Right to Try is such a good thing. And you want to talk about not only money back into the military. For all the science nerds, he put funding back into NASA, which was gutted too during the Obama administration. Some of the things that we look at on a government standpoint, you wonder if this is a purpose sabotage job, mostly because if you want to look at the economy and the way that the instability is put there, you have a government shutdown and some of these things definitely hurt, right? If you were to settle this thing up, that would be a big plus, I think, in consumer confidence. If he could do something with China and get a deal with them, that's a huge plus in consumer confidence. He would be riding 2019. This could be one of the best economic years ever if you get those two things off the table. And sometimes I wonder, maybe there's a little sabotage job going on by people that don't want to see him go into the end of the year when some of their candidates are being announced because they think it would be harder for them to beat him in an election.
He's never had a full cabinet.
Yeah.
He has never had a full cabinet, but he can't get the people before the Senate in order to get a vote. He's still using Obama holdovers who are sabotaging him. And I don't know why this guy in Indiana can't understand that it just isn't being played fairly the way the Constitution was designed. He's being hamstrung, he's being handcuffed, and he's still doing more than any president in my memory.
All right, Bill, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
You too.
Right, bye. Yeah, and Donald Trump has his faults. He's not an angel or a perfect human being by any means. He's far from it. But politically speaking, he's accomplished a lot in those 2 years he's been in office and a lot of things that are positive for the country. And if it was the best thing for the country that all politicians were trying to aim for, then we wouldn't have this. If it was, honestly, they were trying to do what was best for the country and you took the politics off the table. It's Overnight America, KMOX. KMOX. Overnight America continues. All right, so, and I played this earlier, and you're going to have to catch this on the podcast. It was just too good. Earlier tonight, before the show, I was interviewing Clint Hosse for an upcoming profile in February. Clint worked at KMOX as a sales manager, I guess, or sales rep, whatever, 1993 to 2000-ish, somewhere in there, so. And he had the opportunity, since it was early 90s, to see a young Charlie Brennan when he was first coming to the station. Still, I guess he would have been there about 4 or 5 years at that point. He worked with Jim White and Jack Buck, and think of all the great KMOX personalities of that 90s era. And he had some really great memories of it I shared on the show. So if you missed it, go back to the KMOX podcast, wherever you get your podcast. You can get it from the radio.com app, or maybe you already have one installed on your smartphone. And just click play. If you haven't subscribed to us, do that too. Very easy for you to go back and catch any part of the show. But there were some really cool parts, and part of which was I pulled from the KMOX archive when Jack Carney sent a message to Jim White. Oh, that was cool. That's also included as part of that podcast. You know, there's a whole other story that's out with the snow that's coming back. And this weekend, we're expected to get 3 to 6 inches from Friday night after the sun goes down and that drizzle rain starts to get to the freezing side. And that's not going to be all that great. So hopefully it's way out of the way when it comes to prime or the drive time again. Like last Friday was just miserable, the way that the roads and the highways and people jamming on those. Too bad. Anyone that was stuck for hours on the highway, man, it was lousy. So at least at this point, it's not going to be hitting when everyone's out. But you definitely need to be prepared for it. So stay tuned when we get more updates from AccuWeather throughout the course of the week. Kevin Kleen did another great whole nother story on the snow.
A big snowstorm breaks up the boredom of everyday life. You feel like you're in a disaster movie.
Last summer, two comets were discovered that are on a collision.
One of those movies where Morgan Freeman is president, and he's like a meteorologist telling you about the next snowfall coming to St. Louis.
We now have the details.
Creating a tidal wave over 3,000 feet high.
There's something thrilling about knowing that we're all going to get it, but get it together.
Tons. If it can.
I'm sorry for the people who got stuck on the highway the last time around.
Lord.
And for those who had car accidents, but for the most part, the big snow was an occasion of joy. Families went sledding together. Husbands and wives made breakfast. I made some bacon and my wife made the pancakes. We let the dog out that Saturday morning to get the paper and she never could find it. It's still out there somewhere under the snow. When it was time to shovel, it wasn't so bad, especially after my neighbor Todd came by with a snowblower. Those things could do an hour's worth of work in just 10 minutes. Later, snowbound, we watched a romantic comedy, something with Hugh Grant in it.
Hugh Grant, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Paul, there's a bear behind you. Speak in a soft, monotone voice. Oh,
nice it was pretty good, but when it was over, I had to put in a spaghetti western. The snowbound weekend ended and we all had to go back to work, so it was exciting to hear that it might be coming at us again this weekend. But not everybody is excited. Ben Boyd of KMOX Sports says it would mess up the Cardinals' winter warm-up this weekend. Boyd says just because the meteorologist got it right once, don't believe them.
Baseball, Cardinal baseball.
Just think of opening day.
Cardinals.
With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Fans, come on down.
Oh, cool.
Let's play ball.
Oh, man, we're so close. Winter warm-up this weekend. People are concerned that the poor temperatures could impact that. But, man, Cardinals fans are resilient. They'll go out there and support the team when they have the opportunity. You know, I was looking at Today in History. I normally don't do Today in History on the radio program. To me, that's more of like a lazy thing to do. Like, if you have to go through the, let's find out what happened today in history, a.k.a. I really didn't have a lot of time to prepare, so I'm just going to pull something that's off the easy to find online. But you know whose birthday it is today, January 17th? Actress Betty White. Aww. Can't that be the good thing that we prepare for later tonight? Aww, actress Betty White, we love you. What's not to like about her? Seriously. All right, coming up in the next hour. That was about as pleasant of a story as you'll get on CNN earlier tonight on Chris Cuomo's show. Him and Rudy Giuliani had a discussion about the president. Had a discussion about the Page and Strzok text messages, the things that are still missing, the investigation into Donald Trump from the Mueller investigation, the FISA warrants, the big bombshell that broke from the Hill. Rudy Giuliani will be taken out of context for the next week. I want you to give him a fair shot, and we're going to explain it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.